Welcome to day 191 of my Everyday Bible. Today we are reading the book of Isaiah, chapters 5 through 8. And today we will hear one of the most profound messianic scriptures, found in Isaiah chapter 7. And it's a prophetic proclamation that a son who would be Emmanuel, God with us, would be born as a sign to Israel and born of a virgin. This is an amazing prophecy because it was given by the prophet Isaiah over 700 years before the birth of Christ. So we will hear that today, and we will also hear about Isaiah's amazing vision of the Lord on his throne, and it's a very powerful passage. So beginning today at Isaiah chapter 5, starting at verse 1. Let me, as God's representative, sing of and for my greatly beloved God, the Son, a tender song of my beloved concerning his vineyard, his chosen people. My greatly beloved had a vineyard on a very fruitful hill, and he dug and trenched the ground and gathered out the stones from it and planted it with the choicest vine and built a tower in the midst of it and hewed out a winepress in it. And he looked for it to bring forth grapes, and it brought forth wild grapes. And now, O inhabitants of Jerusalem and men of Judah, judge, I pray you, between me and my vineyard, my people, says the Lord. What more could have been done for my vineyard that I have not done in it? When I looked for it to bring forth grapes, why did it yield wild grapes? And now I will tell you what I will do to my vineyard. I will take away its hedge, and it shall be eaten and burned up, and I will break down its wall, and it shall be trodden down by enemies, and I will lay it waste. It shall not be pruned or cultivated, but there shall come up briars and thorns. I will also command the clouds that they rain no rain upon it. For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, and the men of Judah his pleasant planting, the plant of his delight. And he looked for justice, but behold, he saw oppression and bloodshed. He looked for righteousness, for uprightness and right standing with God. But behold, he heard a cry of oppression and distress. Woe to those who join house to house and by violently expelling the poorer occupants enclose large acreage and join field to field until there's no place for others and you are made to dwell alone in the midst of the land. In my, Isaiah's, ears, the Lord of hosts said, of a truth many houses shall be desolate, even great and beautiful ones shall be without inhabitant. For 10 acres of vineyard shall yield only about 8 gallons, and 10 bushels of seed will produce but 1 bushel. Woe unto those who rise early in the morning, that they may pursue strong drink, who tarry late into the night till wine inflames them. They have lyre and harp, tambourine and flute and wine at their feasts, but they do not regard the deeds of the Lord, neither do they consider the operation of his hands in mercy and in judgment. Therefore, my people go into captivity to their enemies without knowing it, and because they have no knowledge of God, and their honorable men, their glory, are famished, and their common people are parched with thirst. Therefore, Sheol, the unseen state, the realm of the dead, has enlarged its appetite and opened its mouth without measure. And Jerusalem's nobility and her multitude and her pomp and tumult and the drunken reveler who exults in her descend into it. And the common man is bowed down, and the great man is brought low, and the eyes of the haughty are humbled. But the Lord of hosts is exalted in justice, and God, the Holy One, shows himself holy in righteousness and through righteous judgments. Then shall the lambs feed among the ruins, as in their own pasture, and among the desolate places of the exiled rich shall sojourners and aliens eat. Woe to those who draw calamity with cords of iniquity and falsehood, who bring punishment to themselves with a cart rope of wickedness, who say, "Let the Holy One make haste and speed his prophesied vengeance, that we may see it. And let the purpose of the Holy One of Israel draw near and come, that we may know it." Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe to those who are wise in their own eyes and prudent and shrewd in their own sight. Woe to those who are mighty heroes at drinking wine and men of strength and mixing alcoholic drinks, who justify and acquit the guilty for a bribe, but take away the rights of the innocent and righteous from them. Therefore, as the tongue of fire devours the stubble, and as the dry grass sinks down in the flame, so their root shall be like rottenness, and their blossoms shall go up like fine dust, because they have rejected and cast away the law and the teaching of the Lord of hosts, and have not believed, but have treated scornfully and have despised the word of the Holy One of Israel. Therefore is the anger of the Lord kindled against his people, and he has stretched forth his hand against them and has smitten them. And the mountains trembled, and their dead bodies were like dung and sweepings in the midst of the streets. For all this, his anger is not turned away, but his hand is still stretched out in judgment. And he will lift up a signal to call together a hostile people from afar to execute his judgment on Judea, and will hiss for them from the end of the earth, as bees are hissed from their hives. And behold, they shall come with speed, swiftly. None is weary or stumbles among them, none slumbers or sleeps, nor is the girdle of their loins loosed, or the latchet, thong of their shoes broken. Their arrows are sharp, and all their bows bent. Their horses' hooves seem like flint, and their wheels like a whirlwind. Their roaring is like that of a lioness. They roar like young lions. They growl and seize their prey and carry it away safely, and there is none to deliver it. And in that day, they, the army from afar, shall roar against the Jews like the roaring of the sea. And if one looks to the land, behold, there's darkness and distress, and the light itself will be darkened by the clouds of it. Chapter 6. In the year that King Uzziah died, in a vision I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and the skirts of his train filled the most holy part of the temple. Above him stood the seraphim. Each had six wings. With two each covered his own face, and with two each covered his feet, and with two each flew. And one cried to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." And the foundations of the threshold shook at the voice of him who cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, "Woe is me, for I am undone and ruined, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Then flew one of the seraphim, heavenly beings, to me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from off the altar. And with it he touched my mouth and said, "Behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity and guilt are taken away, and your sin is completely atoned for and forgiven. Also, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, Here am I, send me. And he said, Go and tell this people, Hear and hear continually, but understand not, and see continually, but do not apprehend with your mind. Make the heart of this people fat, and make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their hearts, and turn again and be healed. Then said I, Lord, how long? And he answered, Until cities lie waste without inhabitant, and houses without man, and the land is utterly desolate. And the Lord removes his people far away, and the forsaken places are many in the midst of the land. And though a tenth of the people remain in the land, it will be for their destruction, eaten up and burned, like a terebinth tree or like an oak, whose stump and substance remain when they are felled or have cast their leaves. The holy seed, the elect remnant, is the stump and substance of Israel. Chapter 7. In the days of Ahaz, son of Jotham, the son of Uzziah, king of Judah, Rezin, the king of Syria, and Pekah, the son of Remaliah, king of Israel, went up to Jerusalem to wage war against it, but they could not conquer it. And the house of David, Judah, was told, Syria is allied with Ephraim, Israel, and the heart of Ahaz and the hearts of his people trembled and shook, as the trees of the forest tremble and shake with the wind. Then the Lord said to Isaiah, Go forth now to meet Judah's king Ahaz, you and your son Shear-Jashub. A remnant shall return. At the end of the aqueduct or canal of the upper pool on the highway to the fuller's field, and say to him, Take heed and be quiet. Fear not, neither be faint-hearted, because of these two stumps of smoking firebrands, at the fierce anger of the Syrian king Rezin and Syria, and of the son of Remaliah, Pekah, usurper of the throne of Israel. Because Syria, Ephraim, Israel, and the son of Remaliah have purposed evil against you, Judah, saying, Let us go up against Judah and harass and terrify it, and let us cleave it asunder, each of us taking a portion, and set a vassal king in the midst of it, namely the son of Tabeel. Thus says the Lord God, It shall not stand, neither shall it come to pass. For the head, the capital of Syria, is Damascus, and the head of Damascus is King Rezin. Within 65 years, Ephraim will be broken to pieces so that it will no longer be a people. And the head, the capital of Ephraim, is Samaria, and the head of Samaria is Remaliah's son Pekah. If you will not believe and trust and rely on God, on the words of God's prophet, instead of Assyria, surely you will not be established, nor will you remain. Moreover, the Lord spoke again to King Ahaz, saying, Ask for yourself a sign, a token or proof of the Lord your God, one that will convince you that God has spoken and will keep his word. Ask it either in the depth below or in the height above. Let it be as deep as Sheol or as high as heaven. But Ahaz said, I will not ask, neither will I tempt the Lord. And Isaiah said, Hear then, O house of David. Is it a small thing for you to weary and try the patience of men? But will you weary and try the patience of my God also? Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, the young woman who is unmarried and a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel, God with us. Butter and curds and wild honey shall he eat when he knows enough, to refuse the evil and choose the good. For before the child shall know enough to refuse the evil and choose the good, the land, Canaan, whose two kings you abhor and of whom you are in sickening dread, shall be forsaken, both Ephraim and Syria. The Lord shall bring upon you and upon your people and upon your father's house such days as have not come since the day that Ephraim, the 10 northern tribes, departed from Judah, even the king of Assyria. And in that day the Lord shall whistle for the fly, the numerous and troublesome foe that is in the whole extent of the canal country of Egypt, and for the bee that is in the land of Assyria. And these enemies, like flies and bees, shall come and rest, all of them, in the desolate and rugged valleys and deep ravines, and in the clefts of the rocks, and on all the thorn bushes, and on all the pastures. In the same day will the people of Judah be utterly stripped of belongings. The Lord will shave with the razor that is hired from the parts beyond the river Euphrates, even with the king of Assyria. That razor will shave the head and the hair of the legs, and it shall also consume the beard, leaving Judah with open shame and scorn. And because of the desolation brought on by the invaders in that day, a man will be so poor that he will keep alive only a young milk cow and two sheep. And because of the abundance of milk that they will give, he will eat butter and curds, for only butter and curds and wild honey, no vegetables, shall everyone eat who is left in the land. These products provided from the extensive pastures and the plentiful wild flowers upon which the bees depend. And in that day, in every place where there used to be 1,000 vines worth 1,000 silver shekels, there shall be briars and thorns. With arrows and with bows shall a man come to hunt there, because all the land will be briars and thorns. And as for all the hills that were formerly cultivated with mattock and hoe, you will not go there for fear of briars and thorns, but they will become a place where oxen are let loose for pasture and where sheep tread. Chapter 8. The Lord said to me, "Take a large tablet of wood, metal, or stone, and write upon it with a graving tool and in ordinary characters, which the humblest man can read, belonging to Mahar Shalal Hashbaz, they, the Assyrians, hasten to the spoil of Syria and Israel. They speed to the prey. And I take faithful witnesses to record and attest this prophecy for me, Uriah the priest, and Zechariah, son of Jeberechiah. And I approached my wife, the prophetess, and when she had conceived and borne a son, the Lord said to me, 'Call his name Maher Shalal Hashbaz, as a continual reminder to the people of the prophecy. For before the child knows how to say, "My father," or "My mother," the riches of Damascus, Syria's capital, and the spoil of Samaria, Israel's capital, shall be carried away before the king of Assyria.' The Lord spoke to me yet again and said, 'Because this people, Israel and Judah, have refused and despised the waters of Siloam, the only perennial fountain of Jerusalem and symbolic of God's protection and sustaining power, that go gently and rejoice in and with Rezin, the king of Syria, and Remaliah's son Pekah, the king of Israel. Now, therefore, behold, the Lord brings upon them the waters of the river Euphrates, strong and many, even the king of Assyria and all the glory of his gorgeous retinue. And it will rise over all its channels, brooks, valleys, and canals, and extend far beyond its banks. And it will sweep on into Judah. It will overflow and go over the hills, reaching even, but only to the neck, of which Jerusalem is the head. and the outstretched wings of the armies of Assyria shall fill the breadth of your land, O Emmanuel, Messiah, God is with us. Make an uproar and be broken in pieces, O you peoples. Rage, raise the war cry, do your worst and be utterly dismayed. Give ear, all you, our enemies of far countries. Gird yourselves for war and be thrown into consternation. Gird yourselves and be utterly dismayed. Take counsel together against Judah, but it shall come to naught. Speak the word, but it will not stand, for God is with us, Emmanuel. For the Lord spoke thus to me, with his strong hand upon me, and warned and instructed me not to walk in the way of this people, saying, Do not call conspiracy, or hard, or holy, all that this people will call conspiracy, or hard, or holy. Neither be in fear of what they fear, nor make others afraid and be in dread. The Lord of hosts, regard him as holy and honor his holy name, by regarding him as your only hope of safety, and let him be your fear, and let him be your dread, lest you offend him by your fear of man and distrust of him. And he shall be a sanctuary, a sacred and indestructible asylum to those who reverently fear and trust in him. But he shall be a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense to both the houses of Israel, a trap and a snare to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And many among them shall stumble thereon, and they shall fall and be broken, and be snared and taken. Bind up the testimony, seal the law, and the teaching among my, Isaiah's, disciples, and I will wait for the Lord, who is hiding his face from the house of Jacob, and I will look for and hope in him. Behold, I and the children whom the Lord has given me are signs and wonders that are to take place in Israel from the Lord of hosts who dwells on Mount Zion. And when the people, instead of putting their trust in God, shall say to you, Consult for direction, mediums and wizards who chirp and mutter, should not a people seek and consult their God? Should they consult the dead on behalf of the living? Direct such people to the teaching and to the testimony. If their teachings are not in accord with this word, it is surely because there is no dawn and no morning for them. And they who consult mediums and wizards shall pass through the land sorely distressed and hungry. And when they are hungry, they will fret and will curse by their king and their God. And whether they look upward or look to the earth, they will behold only distress and darkness, the gloom of anguish, and into thick darkness and widespread obscure night, they shall be driven away. This is the end of today's scripture reading. In today's scripture reading, we heard in chapter 6 of Isaiah a revelation of when Isaiah actually saw a vision of the Lord and also received his calling and his commissioning from God to be a prophet. It says in the beginning of Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1, In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne high and lifted up. And then he began to describe the seraphim, these angels that he saw that had six wings and how they flew and cried, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord. The whole earth is full of his glory. And how the foundations of the building shook at the voice of the angels that cried, and how the whole house, the temple, was filled with smoke. And it was in that place of seeing this revelation of God, having a divine, really, encounter or vision, a revealing to Isaiah of the absolute might and holiness of the Lord, that at that point, suddenly Isaiah has this revelation of how unclean he is. He says in verse 5, Then I said, Woe is me, for I am undone and ruined, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. And this is very profound, because when a person has a revelation of who God is, how great God is, how holy He is, how He is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. And when a person really has that revelation, then suddenly you become aware of how sinful you are. When you see God's holiness and His standards and who He is and what He calls us to be, then you have a sudden revelation of how unclean you are. Because I'm a man of unclean lips and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. This was why Isaiah said, woe is me. Oh, I'm ruined. I'm undone by this. I realize how unclean I really am once I really had a revelation of the Lord. And I had a similar experience when I first truly came to know who God was and what He was about. I knew a historical narration of the life of Jesus. I could have repeated that to you. But I had no revelation of God and how God wanted a relationship with me. I had no understanding that God wanted a personal relationship with me and was interested in my everyday life and what I did with myself, with my life, how I talked and what I did every day. I had no revelation about that. I had God and religious things in a box that was relegated to certain times of the year, and that was it. I didn't have any revelation that God was ever present, that God was desiring to be with me and me to be with Him, and that He wanted a relationship with me, this holy God. I had God so distant from man in my own mind that I didn't know anything until the Lord revealed Himself to me. And it was at that point that I realized how unclean, how sinful I was. Just like Isaiah here in the sixth chapter. He said, woe is me, I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. And I felt the same way when I had that. I was suddenly just so ashamed of things I had done and how I spoke and what I did. And I needed God to cleanse me, and I wanted God to cleanse me. And this beautiful picture in the sixth chapter where one of the angels flies over to Isaiah with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from off the altar. And he took that live coal and he touched his mouth, and he said, behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity and guilt are taken away, and your sin is completely atoned for and forgiven. And it was then that Isaiah was put into a position where he could be called and commissioned by the Lord. Once he had received God's forgiveness for his sins, was completely free of his past, was cleansed from all iniquity, then the Lord called him. The very next verse says, also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? Who will go for us? And then said I, here am I, send me. So God revealed Himself to Isaiah. Then He showed him his own uncleanness. Then He cleansed him of his uncleanness. And then He called him into His service. And Isaiah responded with, here am I, send me. And then the very next verse, he gets his first commissioning, his first assignment from the Lord. God says to him, go and tell this people. And then he begins to tell him all the things that he wants Isaiah to tell the people of Judah. And that is a very powerful picture, because the way that Isaiah was called into God's service and how God revealed Himself and revealed to Isaiah his own uncleanness and his need for God to cleanse him. Not that Isaiah couldn't clean himself up. Isaiah couldn't make himself be a man of clean lips. He needed God's intervention, and it's the same for us. Maybe you feel that you don't measure up. If you think about God, you shrink back because you feel like, oh, I've done this sin and that sin, and I shouldn't even talk to God. I shouldn't even approach God. Yet God wants you to approach him. God wants you to approach him and receive from him the cleansing of your sin so that you can stand in God's presence and you can hear God's assignment for you and you can be commissioned to do whatever it is God has designed you to do and to be in your life. And we need to be aware of that. And I love this picture that we're given here in the book of Isaiah of how God calls, cleanses, and then commissions a person to serve him. It's a great lesson for us. We need the Lord to cleanse us and make us in right standing with him so that he can use us and we can be a person that can go to this generation, a people of unclean lips. And it's truly a reality of today. If there was ever a day when a generation of people who had unclean lips lived, it is today. You can turn on the television or a movie and hear continuous uncleanness being spouted out of the mouths of people, profanity and wickedness just being poured out of the mouths of people and spread throughout the earth through the media today, whether it's movie or television or internet or YouTube or whatever source, you can see it being literally poured out like a flood of filth throughout the earth through a people of unclean lips. And we heard just prior to that Isaiah chapter 6 revelation of Isaiah's calling and commissioning, we heard the Lord say, "Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter." That is also true about our society today. We especially live in a time when people are saying, oh, this isn't bad, this is good. They call what God calls evil, they call good. They put it on television and they announce it and they put it on TV sitcoms and say, this is good, this is normal, this is just how it should be. They are calling evil good and good evil. They put darkness and promote it as if it was light. They put what is God's standards and call that evil. They put people who defend God's standards and call them wicked and call them people who are haters and things like that. Because we live in a day that is described here in the book of Isaiah. Woe to those who call evil good and they call good things evil. And we have to be very aware that that's the season and the generation and the culture we're living in today. And yet, like Isaiah, we are called to be a people who are willing to go for God somewhere and speak the truth. When the Lord, after cleansing Isaiah's lips and taking away his sin and atoning for and forgiving him completely, the very next thing was, who shall I send? Who will go for us? He said, I heard the voice of the Lord say, whom shall I send and who will go for us? God is still sending that question out to the earth today. Whom shall I send to this generation? Who will go for us to the generation that's living right now in our century? It was true back in Isaiah's century, 700 some years before Christ. It is true today, 2,000 years after Christ is born. It's still the same question being asked by the voice of the Lord. Whom shall I send? Who will go for us? Isaiah answered, here I am, send me. Can you answer the same? Can you say, Lord, send me? Then I want to encourage you, let the Lord do the work that's required in you, where you allow him to touch you, to to touch your mouth, to make you a person that's no longer a person of unclean lips, living in the midst of a people of unclean lips, but you're a person who has clean lips, speaks the truth in love, speaks what God says, holds to the standards of God, goes boldly and speaks even when people don't want to hear it. You're still willing to speak for the Lord. Be that person today. God's still calling out to our generation. Whom shall I send? Who will go for us? Let your answer today be, Lord, here I am. Send me. God bless you and give you a victorious week.